B2. Number 17B.
I ought to give you right afterwards a drawing that makes you realize what this means. It means, you see, that if I'm a little worm and I crawl over a big, big balloon, and as this little worm, I have a feeling that I'm on a flat surface, on a flat surface. I have the faintest idea that I crawl along and along and along and along, that it isn't flat. As long as I crawl, I trust it's always flat and flat and flat. And only when we have a bigger perspective, no more the perspective of the little insect or worm, I begin to realize that this flat surface is not flat, but it only appears flat to a certain point of observation, but that it is a space, that it is a sphere, and therefore I have quite a different concept of it. So, can you see again, the same thing can be different things. That balloon can be, for the worm, a flat surface. For the observation of a man, it is a spatial a concept. It's space. And yet, it is the same. Now, perhaps the best way to show you how every time we change the dimension, how every time we change the dimension, the phenomena changes, you see. For instance, now, I wonder if I can draw that nicely. Let's say we have a spatial concept, a space. And in geometry, we would perhaps draw this like this. You have a space, you know. Can you see? That's a space. Huh? Now, actually, this side should be perhaps in dots. If I, for safety's sake, take away this complicated, this part here, just for the simplicity's sake. If I just have this space, and in this space I hang up, say, a cylinder. You know what a cylinder is? Something like that. Is that a cylinder? Yeah? See, this is hanging in this space here. Now, this is a three-dimensional object, the cylinder, has three dimensions, and hangs in a three-dimensional space. But the light that shines from there to this two-dimensional surface here, what I get is something like this. Can you see this? I get a rectangular shadow. Is that it? Yeah? A rectangular shadow. If I hang up, a cylinder, you see, and I have a light shining against this blackboard, what appears here is just this rectangular shadow. If I have the light from the top, what appears down on this surface is just this oval. Can you see? Well, this here is a two-dimensional space, surface. It has only two dimensions. This here has only two dimensions. But the cylinder itself has three dimensions. Is round, but that object from transformed from the three-dimensional concept to the two-dimensional concept appears as quite a different phenomena. Can appear either as a rectangular form or as a circle, or what you call a prize, here's a circle.
Oblong.
Yeah, well, here is
an oblong
or so.
Oblong.
An oblong. Now, the question is, which of these three is true? Which one of these three is right? Well, they are all right. Every one of them is right. As long as they are considered in relation to the dimension. Now this is exactly, you see, what, for instance, Daya Rajadansi is. It is that the whole being, if it is considered from the lowest plane of thought, it is just a cosmology. If it's from a higher, it is biogenesis. From a still higher, it is no-genesis. And finally, on the highest level, it's Christ Genesis. And it's always the same cosmic stuff of which he speaks. So, this is only an illustration to show, see, that we cannot just say with one, say, statement or something, that every statement can be seen from various dimensions. We call them various levels. And on each level, the phenomena is different. And yet, all these phenomena together really represent the thing itself. Now, we could say that this cylinder here is a three-dimensional picture. But if there is a fourth dimension, we can wonder what the form of the fourth dimensional object would be, which we know here as a three-dimensional cylinder. Einstein would know that. He could figure out what it is. Perhaps he would say it's a curved space or something like that. We can't. Our consciousness, our human consciousness, our mental perception is not cultured to take it in. But if this oval here is the two-dimensional representation of this three-dimensional cylinder, then this three-dimensional symbol is a representation of something in the fourth-dimensional concept. What that fourth dimension is, we do not know. If I have, for instance, here as this oval thickness, which is just one form of a something of another dimension, namely perhaps that of health, then perhaps I can see that above that health lies a higher concept, which is idea, something like that. Or I begin to see that if life, no, I'm on. I can't go in that. I never stop. I never stop when I start on this. So, all I wanted to show you is this, you see, that you have here an illustration, a geometrical illustration of what we are going to see in Mrs. Eddy's writings. That at one time she speaks of a concept in this dimension, say of the cylinder, once in the dimension of these two dimensional surface, sometimes as this, sometimes as even a higher dimension. And this is the thing which we want to discuss today as the four levels. These are four dimensions. But they are all together one thing. They are not four different things, but they are only four aspects, so to say, from one thing, but each time from a different level, from a different dimension. All right, can I wipe this up? Now, I want to show you how slowly, step by step, the thought, about 25 years ago or so, developed in John Lawley's consciousness until he finally began to realize that there are such levels, such dimensions. And I build up this line of development that has come over the years
here on the blackboard, this time from bottom to the top. We, at that time, we have already seen, you see, that the what the definition of God meant. We are staying on that definition of God as mind, spirit, soul. See, I put it now in the ascending way, you see, as mind, spirit, soul, which leads really to the consciousness that this is the principle of being. And that, this principle really is my truth and love. In other words, that was our first insight, that through mind, spirit, soul, we arrive at the principle of being. And that this principle of being demonstrates life, truth, and love. Therefore, that only when our mortal human concept is yielding to the divine mind, and that then only, instead of a material point of view, we have a spiritual point of view, that only then really we get the true identities of being, the true concept of being, soul. And if we have mind, spirit, soul in consciousness, then we have found the principle of being. So, mind, spirit, soul constitute the nature of principle, and then we saw that this principle always demonstrates itself as life, truth, and love. So we could see, you see, that the main synonymous term at the beginning, are really mind, spirit, and soul, because they introduce us into the unity with principle. And this is in the Bible called the three and a half. Here, at this juncture where the three synonymous term now atone and become one with the fourth. This is the three and a half, which is in the Bible is symbolized by times and times and half a time, is symbolized by 1260 days, because that's 3 years and a half, symbolized by 42 months and so on, which is again 3.5 years. In all sorts of ways the Bible shows that this 3.5 is always the critical point. Namely, it's the point where we atone with the principle of being, where we, from the human standpoint, have made our three big steps of mind, spirit, soul. Getting rid of mortal mind and say there is one mind. Getting rid of the belief that matter is reality and seeing that spirit is the reality and the substance. Getting rid of sense testimony and say I don't care about sense testimony, I care about soul testimony. If I have that, you see, these are the nature. Then from that point I see, well, then I touch unity with the being. That's the critical point. And the moment I have atonement with principle, principle says, I take over. I am self-operative, and therefore this principle which is in your consciousness is going to demonstrate life, truth, and love. See? So this is the word order as we have seen it, or what we call now the order in Christian, on the level of Christian Science. So we were considering these four orders then, as we have done on the level of Christian Science, and have always seen that life, truth, and love is the thing which matters, but it always only can manifest itself through mind, spirit, and soul. In every order, we have this most important combination of mind, spirit, soul, soul, spirit, mind, the mind, soul, spirit, you see, because these are those terms which enable us to lift ourselves out of the limited concept out of the human to the point of principle, of principle's own working. Then, from this point on, after a while, thought developed and said, but after all, once that principle is touched which demonstrates life, truth and love, then really being does not take into account what we think. From the absolute point of view, being is not interested in the slightest about what the human mind thinks and believes. So that we begin to realize that from a more absolute standpoint, we only have to deal with life, truth and love, and no more with soul, spirit and mind. If we go out from the absolute, and the absolute doesn't recognize the relative, the human, the material, the sense system, it doesn't have any concept, really, of the counterfeit of mind, spirit and soul. So that the absolute is quite satisfied with just seeing my nature is life, truth and love. That's why we find in Mrs. Eddy's works, very often God defined only through life, truth and love. Says this is the essence. So the moment we come to an absolute sense, the definition of God does no more take in mind, spirit and soul, but only life, truth and love. Because from God's point of view, he doesn't need to have a divine mind in order to counteract mortal mind. From God's point of view, he doesn't need to say, I am spirit and there is no matter, no limitation. From God's point of view, he doesn't need to take his soul and say, everything I create is of my own nature, and if you have a counterfeit sense of it, it isn't true. So, thought did rise to accept that actually only life, truth and love is going on, and all what they do is to show itself forth as idea. That's all what is going on. Only idea. See, whereas down here, mind, spirit, soul, they were trying to counteract, as I said, mortal mind, matter, and sense, testimony. See? So it's instead that thought is engaged in getting rid of the mortal concept of mortal mind, matter and sense testimony, the moment it goes out from the absolute, it has only in view idea. And says, actually, the divine principle of being only expresses itself in ideas. That's all what it knows. Ideas of life, truth and love. So we begin to see the absolute nature of the definition of God, as the essence of God. Then, after a while, the thought developed and said, but didn't Mrs. Eddy say that principle and idea is one? That she said, after all, life, truth and love, they express themselves certainly as ideas, but these ideas are one with life, truth and love. And no more a question, how does life, truth and love express itself as ideas of life, truth and love? But said, they are one. And so we came to divine science and just could see that there is one life. One life. Or you could say that principle and idea is one. So we touch divine science. That point where thought does no more ask, well, how does life, truth and love express itself as idea? But where thought knows principle and idea is all in all. Therefore, you could also say it is the all in all here. See? The accent is one. We have a great sense of oneness. Great sense of oneness. But life does not express itself in infinite ideas of life. But does life express itself as life? It's one. Just as one life. Can you see? And at that moment, we later on in as late as 1949, only 1949, John Dolly began to see there is even a step higher than this oneness, namely the infinite, one, capitalized. That's all. Just principle. Just the synonymous term. Now, I go over it and over it. This is something you can't help getting. Up to now, I wasn't quite sure if it is, but it doesn't matter. Can you see the great ascending thought that has taken place? As long as we are here in Christian Science, the central point is how to get rid of the mortal. How to get rid of that which makes up the mortal, namely mortal mind, matter, and sense system. If we can get rid of those three, we have got rid of the whole mortal. Because without mortal mind, without matter, without sense system, you can have no sickness, you can have no death, you can have no hate, nothing at stake. That means that life is leaving the body, life is leaving matter. But if we have no concept of matter, life can't leave the body, can't leave matter. So the moment, really, we have seen through mortal mind, through matter, through sense system, we have seen through the whole gamut of mortality. Through the whole gamut of mortality. And so, on the level of Christian Science, this is the main problem. The main problem is to handle mortal mind, matter, and sense system. Once this is handled and seen as nothing, then thoughts ask, well, what are we then really demonstrating? So, therefore, only ideas are going on. That's our new universe. Instead of having the mortal universe and the mortal body and mortality, now we have a universe of ideas. When we see that, we have gained a great step and see all we have to do with the universe of ideas. And then after a while rejoicing over it, be happy about it and thinking about it for a few years, suddenly something in us comes and says, why do you say you have a universe of ideas? The universe is in God. The all is in the big all. Principle and idea is one. So all what you get now is not just ideas, but that oneness. That there is just oneness. And so, one feels, oh golly, now I've got it. Now I see principle and all its expression are one. Life and its ideas are one. Truth and its ideas are one. Love and its ideas are one. And then suddenly at one point we think, why all this? Because Mrs. Eddy says that God, that principle and idea is one, and this one is God, the omnipotent, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniactive being. And so she puts principle and idea at that oneness even higher to the being, capitalized, or to the I am. Clear. And so, in a gentle way, in an ordered way, thought rises right from there where we pick up the mortal and his mortal thinking, pick him up and begin to instruct him in spiritual science, first through mind, spirit, soul. If we get that, we have found the principle of being. That principle of being expressed itself as life, truth, and love only as ideas, never as matter, never as bodies, never as people, never as thoughts, mortal thoughts, or so, only as ideas. And so we come into that universe where we see all that there is going on is life, truth, and love expressing itself, manifesting itself, reflecting itself, interpreting itself as ideas of life, truth, and love. And we get the universe of ideas. And certainly the thought rises further from ideas and says, but these ideas are really in God. And you come to divine science, you always see that the all is in God. It's in God and not just an expression of God, just a manifestation as it would be outside of God. It's in God, and we come to a sense of oneness. Where we don't see, we will see that this week and especially next week. You see, nearly the whole of next week will always be about this. But you can just taste it and see, oh, here I'm going to try to demonstrate something over there. To a better sense of mind, spirit, soul. Here I'm not going to demonstrate something over this. Here I'm going to demonstrate life as the idea of life. Life demonstrating life with a small L. All that there is going on is individual ideas of life. And suddenly I begin to see that there are not a lot of individual ideas of life, there is just one life. And so I begin to see in the oneness of life that life capitalized demonstrates life capitalized. You see? Here, if I would be able to do it, here you state, demonstrate something over there. Here you demonstrate life, small L. Then you come up and demonstrate life itself, capitalized. Life itself. Finally you give it up and say, I am. Can you see? So, now, let's come back to that illustration which we had before about that cylinder, you see. That cylinder, say, is the I am. But on a lower plane, it appears as just life, capitalized. On a lower plane of thought, it appears as life, small L. On a lower plane of thought, it appears as overcoming death. Really, I shouldn't say death here, but overcoming death, you see. Really. Overcoming death. Can you see that the whole talk we have about overcoming death is only on this plane of Christian science? If we would have a little bit of courage, you know, and a little bit of bigness and broadness, we would get out of that. And not always be concerned, how on earth can we overcome death? And will we be able to overcome death? And is there one man that will overcome death? Why shouldn't we all have a resurrection and so? Think of the trouble we would get on this world if everybody could resurrect himself. We have already not enough mortals running around, you see? Yes. On one side we propagate the pill. If the pill isn't coming, they have overpopulation on the other side. They always want to overcome death. Well, that's the counterfeit of the pill.